Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, and prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. At the end of every January, there is the March for Life in Washington, a remembrance of the passing of Roe v. Wade, legalizing abortion in America back in January of 1973. It's been 46 years since abortion was legalized in America, far more years than the Christian community ever expected. At this time each year, I put together a special program addressing the issue of abortion. There is not much new that can be said, but in the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:1, to write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. There are actually many aspects of the abortion issue that can be discussed. It brings up all sorts of biblical topics and insights about the nature of man and sin, about the law of God, about the techniques and the plotting of the wicked. The aspect that I would like to discuss today is the spiritual moral blindness in the pro-choice movement. So much so that the proponents of abortion are calling abortion a good thing, a virtue. It's no longer defended as a necessary evil. The proponents are selling abortion as righteousness, and those who oppose it as being unrighteous. This moral reversal is something to behold in our generation. This last year, Chelsea Clinton said abortion is good because it adds $3.7 million to the economy by keeping women in the workforce. This last year also, Lena Dunham said she regrets not having an abortion. Pro-choice groups recently put out an ad, quote, "The ad set to gentle music consists of a video of a beautiful blue-eyed, bubbly baby girl smiling at the camera and laughing. After a few seconds, the video cuts to a black screen with the words, 'She deserves to be a choice.'" So, what kind of moral confusion is in the minds of those who believe someone deserves to be murdered? Back in 2015, the pro-abortionists started a movement called Shout Your Abortion. The purpose was to remove the negative stigma of abortion by having more women come out of the closet giving testimonials of their abortion. In November of 2018, a leading group of Hollywood actresses had a stand-up for Shout Out Your Abortion party. And during the Kavanaugh hearings, Yale law students and faculty wrote and signed an open letter to the Dean of Yale criticizing Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court by saying that people will die if he's confirmed. The main objection in the letter was to Kavanaugh's pro-life position and the possibility that he might overturn Roe v. Wade. So how is it that people will die if Kavanaugh is confirmed? He would actually be saving more lives by overturning Roe v. Wade. But this is how morally deluded people see things in our generation. It's identical to ancient Israel in her apostasy, where Isaiah wrote, "Woe to the people who call evil good and good evil. They cannot distinguish between the two." And that is the sociopathic nature of unsaved people when they abandon God's truth. They fall further and further into darkness. A sociopath is someone with a seared conscience. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says, "In the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron." So we're dealing with something that is happening on a demonic level. And also Romans chapter 1. As the people depart from God, verse 23, they gradually become futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Verse 28, God gives them over to a depraved mind. That's the only logical explanation for what we are seeing around us today in regard to the pro-abortion movement. This last year, Michelle Wolf, who made a name for herself by being the 2018 comedian at the Correspondents' Dinner in Washington. She was then given an HBO show. And one of her segments was a promo for abortion. You've probably seen this. Her statements expressed perfectly the pro-abortion mindset. She stated, when people say abortion is killing a baby, it's not. It's stopping a baby from happening. Like the movie Back to the Future, where you change the history. Now stop and think about how that statement cleverly redefines murder so as to alleviate the guilt. It's not killing someone. You're just stopping someone from continuing. But isn't that the same thing? Well, then she went on with the latest attack on the pro-life position. And we're hearing this everywhere. Quote, pro-life is a propaganda term that isn't real. These people are anti-abortion, which means they are anti-women. If these people were actually pro-life, they would be fighting hard for healthcare, children, education, gun control, and the environment. They don't care about life. They just care about birth. And all of her audience cheered. And this is the latest justification for abortion. That pro-choice people are actually more pro-life. Believe it or not, this is the conclusion they come to given the moral universe they live in. And the claim is that Republicans only care about the life in the womb, but Democrats care about life outside of the womb. Therefore, the Democrats are just as much, if not more so, pro-life. Because the Democrats believe in helping people's lives with government handouts and wealth redistribution. And this is a very common justification being used by religious people who vote for pro-abortion candidates. It's a way to make a moral equivalency between pro-choice and pro-life so that voting pro-choice isn't so bad. Because one can say, I still care about the life of people in my desire for more government social programs. A leading evangelical pastor, part of the Gospel Coalition, Thabiti Anawile, last year wrote an editorial in the Washington Post. Thabiti explained why Christians who are pro-life should vote for the Democratic candidate. He supported Hillary. Because in short, Democrats care more for life since they are allegedly more for racial justice and more for the immigrants than the Republicans. There's another professing Christian seminar speaker, Mark Charles, a Native American, who's making the same case in Christian circles. At a call to action conference, he stated, I also realized the pro-life movement largely was not pro-life. They were just pro-issue. And I didn't want to be identified with them. Then he went on to say, Donald Trump is not pro-life. You cannot assault women and be pro-life. You cannot call Mexicans rapists and murderers and be pro-life. You cannot say these things and be pro-life. Well, first, Donald Trump did not call Mexicans rapists and murderers. The president was speaking about illegal aliens. Now, second, notice how pro-life is being redefined as being for open borders and socialism. As if in the hierarchy of God's law, those policies override the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. You will be hearing this argument coming all the time from leftist evangelicals, like the Sojourners, to justify voting for the pro-choice party. So here's the question. Is this a valid reasoning on the part of Michelle Wolf and other pro-choice proponents that the pro-abortionists are the true pro-lifers? Is it true that pro-life people don't care about people outside the womb? Well, what pro-life people are saying is, yes, you have to take responsibility for your child. And yes, that is going to create hardship because parenting is work. But for the pro-choice crowd, they see that as not caring for the parents because the parents are being made to take responsibility. These pro-abortionists are in effect saying that pro-lifers are not caring for the parents because they're not letting the parents murder the child. And this is simply the timeless, standard argument for murder. My rights come before the life of another person. This is simply a rewording of the same argument that the pro-choice people have always been making. The right of the parents to be free from responsibility trumps the life of the child. We care more for the quality of the life of the parents than the life of the child. And that has always been the definition and the justification for murder. George Orwell said political language is designed to make lies sound truthful, murder respectable, and give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. Now, the way to detect this deception is simply to get back to basics. By their fruits, you will know them. If you are murdering someone, you are the evil one. 1 John 3:12, Cain, who was the evil one, slew his brother. All of the reasons justifying murder do not make murder any less evil. In fact, if murder is accompanied by ideological justifications, it shows a greater degree of evil. So, Michelle Wolf went on in this piece by saying abortion should be on demand. It should be on the dollar menu at McDonald's. She said, these days, abortion providers have been terrorized by the right into downplaying their abortion services, but you should be proud of it. You're doing a good thing. Then Michelle Wolf marched out on stage with a marching band, throwing confetti in a salute to abortion. She said, if you need an abortion, get one. God bless America and God bless abortion. All this was done to the cheers of the audience. So this is what we're up against in America's days of apostasy. Not only evil, but a deep, dark, moral blindness. And if you don't keep your spiritual wits about you, it's very easy to be taken in by the cultural apathy and forget the gravity of the evil. So let me take a moment to remind us all of the biblical depiction of abortion, because one of the lies is that the Bible doesn't speak against abortion. But murder is clearly condemned by God. The first commandment to mankind after Noah got off the ark, Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And like Planned Parenthood, it was the evil Pharaoh of Egypt who commanded the midwives to kill the newborn Jewish children to reduce the population of those unwanted children. Are children in the womb people? Absolutely. The Bible makes this fact very clear. Jacob and Esau were persons struggling in their mother's womb. The prophet Jeremiah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, and Paul were all called to be prophets while they were in their mother's womb. And Jesus himself existed as a person in the womb of Mary. To kill Jesus in the womb would be to kill Jesus, as Herod tried to do in the killing of all the babies born in Bethlehem. And to preclude any question about the personhood of a baby in the mother's womb, the law of Moses requires the death penalty for anyone who fatally injures a fetus in a mother's womb. Exodus 21:22, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there's no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury to the fetus, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. The womb is to be a mother's place of protection and safety for her child. The mother who has her child ripped apart in her womb is committing an act of heartless, cold cruelty, which is the selfish condition of all natural, unconverted men and women. Romans chapter 3, our feet are swift to shed blood. So hidden within every person is a murderous heart. That's why the ungodly can't get enough of killing their young. That's why they fight to keep it legal. The murder of 1 million babies per year in America and over 50 million worldwide. This unsaved world is the culture of death. And recognize that abortion is not a recent practice. To eliminate unwanted children, the ancient people used drugs and sharp instruments, or they simply abandoned newborns in the wilderness. And to justify abortions, religious people in the ancient world practiced child sacrifice, which wasn't really about pleasing the gods, but a way to get rid of unwanted children. Leviticus chapter 20, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." And make no mistake about it, the children sacrificed to Molech, or to the Phoenician name Baal, were the unwanted children of the day. The worshippers would sacrifice their handicapped children, hoping that Baal would reward them with healthy children. And parents who were economically or socially hindered by a child could free themselves from the responsibility of parenting. But the greatest driving force behind the child sacrifice cult was to remove the unwanted consequences of the sexual promiscuity promoted by Baal worship. The temple prostitutes would sacrifice the children born to them, as would also the worshipers who came with their partners to engage in the orgies of Baal. And this is why the Bible always couples child sacrifice with sexual immorality. Isaiah 57, "You who inflame yourselves among the oaks, under every luxuriant tree, who slaughter the children in the ravines, under the clefts of the crags." The inflaming under the oaks is a reference to the immorality committed in rural, shady worship places of Baal. And then the unwanted children were thrown off the cliffs. Ezekiel 16, "Moreover, you took your sons and daughters, whom you had born to me, and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire." Ezekiel was saying that the people's immorality was bad enough, but then they also killed the children born from that immorality. And the legalization of abortion in 1973 was the natural consequence of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Abortion has always been about liberating people from the consequences of sexual freedom. And it's widely documented that the vast majority of abortions are performed on unmarried women. So the indictment against abortion is not only murder, but promiscuity, disloyalty, indifference, selfishness, coldness of heart. A nation that enters the path of sexual license soon ends up shedding innocent blood. Ezekiel 23, "For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. And they even caused their sons, whom they bore to me, to pass through the fire to the idols as food. Abortion today is the modern version of ancient child sacrifice. As the ancients would throw their babies into the fire of Moloch to avert their responsibility, our generation burns the unborn with chemicals and sanitize abortion clinics to avert their responsibility. The ancients justified it with religion. Our generation justifies it with human reason, but it's the same crime. But here's the perplexity. If it is so wrong, how can it be that over 50% of the American public believes it's okay? We tend to judge right and wrong by current cultural mores. But that's a fatal error. Because when you live in Sodom and Gomorrah, you are living among people who are morally depraved. Real quickly, here are four cultural phenomena that cause people to forget the utter evil of abortion. Number one, religious people support it. Most of the mainline denominations, United Methodists, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, are all members of the Religious Coalition for Abortion Rights. In October of last year, a group of pastors in Columbus, Ohio, held a blessing at a local Planned Parenthood clinic. But let's also remember, it was the clergy who put Jesus on the cross. Number two, so many people support abortion. One in four women have had an abortion. But the fact that mankind supports a practice never makes it right. Slavery was universally accepted. That didn't make it right. And in the 1930s, Germany was the most educated, modern, sophisticated country in the world. And they easily tolerated and justified the Jewish Holocaust. Number three, the woman with an unwanted child has to suffer some hardship. So maybe it's okay for her to abort. But since when do we judge right and wrong by personal convenience? Doing what is right always means personal sacrifice. Number four, and this is a big one, God is not stopping it. And there are many people who think that if the government is allowing something and God is not stopping something, then it must be permissible. But no, God always allows a society to have its free rein to sin, to expose sin before he judges it. So my challenge to you is to be careful not to let the moral blindness of the pro-choice movement rub off on you. Remember Jesus' final words to his disciples. An hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering service to God. So don't be surprised if evil people have the ability to rationalize the most evil practices imaginable. Those justifications are not signs that evil is not so evil, but a sign of the greatness of human depravity. Do not lose your godly outrage. Do not lessen your convictions. Remember Revelation 21:8, murderers will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. So we must warn the lost and share with them that Christ died to pay the price for our murders. And we can find forgiveness with him and restoration if we come to him in faith and repentance. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended YouTube version of this program is on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for making God and Country part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, our evil is great, but your grace and your mercy are greater. Save us from our sin, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.